right. How's everybody doing this morning? Beautiful Sunday morning in Jacksonville, Florida. So great to be with Celebration Church. I want to welcome all of the guys that are in the annex this morning. Why don't you grab your Bibles and turn over to the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms right in the middle of the Bible. If you take your Bible and split it right down the middle, you'll hit the book of Psalms. Turn to 92, Psalm 92. It's a great privilege and honor for me to preach the word to you this morning, and it's always an honor to be in church and in service with Celebration Church of Jacksonville. And I know you guys know this already, but you are just privileged to have the pastors and leaders that you do. Pastor Stovall and Carrie are amazing people, and aren't they? I just feel privileged to know them and be in friendship with them, and to be able to serve this church in any way that I can is always an honor for me and a privilege for me. And Stovall sent me numerous text messages yesterday and wanted me to make sure that I told you how much he loves you and misses you. And he can't wait to be here next weekend. And I know you know this already, but because of, you know, the gift that's in Stovall and Carrie's life, you know, God pulls on that gift around the world, you know, and gives them the opportunity and opens doors around this country, but also around the world for them to be able to minister and to connect with people. And so you've got the difficult job sometimes of releasing them to go do that. And sometimes, you know, when a guy like me is introduced, you're like, oh, man, shoot. I was hoping Stovall would be here. I know you brought a friend and you were telling everybody, you know, telling everybody about how great Stovall is, and you finally got somebody to come to church to hear Stovall, and here I am, you know. And, you know, that's the way it ought to be. I'm sorry to disappoint you today. That's the way it ought to be, that you love your pastor and are so glad to hear him week in and week out and to sit under their teaching, Pastor Stovall and Carrie. And so you do have the challenge sometimes of releasing them. But I want you to know it's worth it, because other people around the world then have the joy of being impacted by their word and by their message and by the gift that's in their life. Is that cool? Okay, great. Well, Psalm 92, I want to talk to you a little bit today about spiritual growth, about growing spiritually and about becoming all that God wants you to become, becoming that person that God designed you to be. See, we've all been formed in the image of God. We've been designed for a purpose. We've been created for a purpose. And God has this picture of our optimum performance and how we are to perform and serve and to be all that God wants us to be. And so here we stand today, or here we are today, in the position that we're in. But in the future, if you kind of fast forward, you can see a picture of how God wants you to be and how God wants you to serve and the relationships and the finances and all the things that are going on in your life, and they're blessed and they're productive. And well, there's a journey. How many of you know there's a journey from this place where you are today to that place of where you see yourself and where God wants you to be? And we're going to talk a little bit about that journey today, because it is a journey and it is a process, but it's one that's well worth it. And Jesus said this, and I was reading this just before I came up. I don't think they have it on the screens, but I just think it's a really, really important verse. Jesus said in John 15, you can stay in Psalms there, but let me just read it. Jesus said in John 15, he said, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." That you bear much fruit. And then he says this, "showing yourselves to be my disciples." So here's the thing. The greatest way that we can give glory to God is by bearing much fruit. It's by being fruitful and productive, by growing and thriving and becoming all that God wants us to become. And then he says this, that you show yourself to be my disciples. So it's a twofold thing here. When we grow and commit to being productive and commit to becoming all that God wants us to become, then we give God glory, but we also show ourselves as disciples of Jesus here on earth, and that's going to be the greatest thing that we can do. It's how we're going to reach people and make an impact in people's lives, by bearing fruit, by being fruitful and productive and growing and becoming all that God wants us to become. In our church in Memphis, we've seen, just since the beginning of the year, almost 1,400 people make decisions for Christ just in the first half of the year. Isn't that an amazing number? So I've been teaching. Yeah, that's cool. Let's give God some praise. So I've been teaching I've been teaching some of this because we have so many new believers who are just trying to work out their stuff, you know, and trying to grow and trying to build the kind of life that God wants them to build. But here's the thing, as we've been teaching this the last few weeks, it's probably inspired those who've been long-term Christians just as much as the new believers, because it's helped them to realize, hey, I need to keep growing. I need to keep, becoming all that God wants me to become. And there's a great, great passage in Psalm 92. Have you found it yet? Come on, you had plenty of time to find it. Psalm 92, verse 12, my favorite. I think this might rank in like the top three of my favorite passages in the Bible. It says, the righteous will flourish. Everybody say, will flourish. Doesn't say might, possibly, maybe, someday, we'll see. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. I'm so glad we're in Florida this morning. Talk about palm trees. It's hard to do that in Tennessee. They will grow. Everybody say, will grow. So you see, will flourish. They will flourish. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Listen to this. Planted where? Planted in church. Planted in the house of God. They will flourish in the courts of our God. I love this one. They will still bear fruit in old age. Look at this. They will stay fresh and green. We've got an older couple in our church, almost in the late 80s, I would say. Mr. Clifford Barnes is his name, and Miss Lenora is his wife. They've been married for like 60 years or something. And every time I preach this passage, I give a little shout out to my man, Mr. Clifford, for looking so fresh in his late 80s. He loves it when I just call him out, you know. Come on, how many of you know that's God's will for your life, that you look fresh? Stay fresh. You know, you don't need to get all old and crusty and cynical and your body may hunch over, but your spirit doesn't need to hunch over. How many of you know that's true? And the best thing is verse 15. They'll stay, listen, they'll still bear fruit in old age. They'll stay fresh and green. But here's the best part, verse 15, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no wickedness in him. So the best part is, even at the end, you're having this great testimony about God's goodness in your life. And so this is the picture, friends, of your future. That you're going to flourish. See, that word flourish means to thrive. It means to prosper. It means to grow luxuriantly. It means to be in a high state of productivity. Your life, this is God's will for your life, that you will flourish. Not that, oh, maybe I hope one day to have peace in my life and to have healthy relationships and to see God's blessing touch my finances. No, no, no. You will, that's God's plan. You will flourish. You will grow. This is God's picture of your future. This is God's plan for your life. How many of you know the Bible says that God promises and plans good things for you? He's got a good plan for you. Doesn't want to harm you. Doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to prosper you and give you. How many of you have read that before? Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to. Yeah, prosper you, not to hurt you, plans to give you hope and a future. And all throughout the Bible, we see this is God's will, this is God's plan for our life. And when we look across the spectrum of our life, I want us to catch this. I think this is real important. It's not as if God just wants us to thrive and flourish spiritually. God wants us to thrive and flourish in every area of our life. God wants you to be blessed emotionally. God doesn't want you to be an emotional wreck. Just all over the map, up and down, crazy emotions. God wants you to have a good, healthy emotional life. God wants you to be blessed and healthy physically, financially, relationally, across the whole spectrum of your life. And here's what I found. When we go God's way, when we do things God's way, it gives us the real opportunity to live at optimum levels in every area of our life. In other words, the Word of God, the thing that I'm holding here in my hand, is the prescription for you and I to live at optimum levels in our life. You ever purchased something before and a piece of equipment or something, you just couldn't figure out how to make it happen? You just start mashing buttons and all, you know, just like, maybe that's just me who does that, you know. Beat it on the top. My wife's like, it's brand new. You shouldn't have to beat it. Sometimes you got to beat things. How many of you know the best thing to do is go back to where? Instruction manual, get online, try to figure out how it works. And where do you go? You go to the source, you go to the creator, whoever manufactured that piece of equipment, because they're supposed to know down to the detail how that thing should operate. See, the same is true with God. We've been created in his image. God knows how we are to operate. God knows the right foods that we should eat so that our body, you know, is healthy and we feel good. God knows the decisions that we should make financially. And guess what? It's all written in here. The principles and processes and prescriptions, the way God says we ought to go. It's all written here. So if we go God's way, then we have the opportunity to live at optimum levels in every area of our life. Everybody tracking with me? How we handle our relationships. We follow the choices that the Bible says we ought to follow, then we can have peace and health in our relationships. Same with our finances, every area of our life. And really, it's about growing spiritually and getting in touch with God's principles and the things that God prescribes to us and growing in those areas. And spiritual growth really is not a science. How many of you have figured that out by now? It's not really like do these seven things and you become that spiritual giant that you've always wanted to become. And sometimes pastors and leaders, you know, we sort of preach these messages that are real simplistic in nature. And so you think, you go away thinking, man, if I do these eight things, then I'm going to be all that, you know? But the truth is, it's a process. In fact, I'd say this, spiritual growth, instead of being a science, it's more like an art. And there are some things that you need to do that your friend may not need to do, but that fit within the plan that God has for you, according to the principles that are laid out in his word. And so here's what I found in the years that I've been serving God in ministry. I found that a lot of people have myths, misconceptions, poor mindsets about what is required of them to grow spiritually. And so I just want to talk about a few of them today. Some myths of spiritual growth. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Flip over to the book of Hebrews. Here's the first one right here. Oh, I think this is so important. Number one, the first myth of spiritual growth is that spiritual growth is automatic. It's automatic once you become a Christian. I think this is a myth that we have sometimes. Sometimes we live behind this myth and we think this, all I need to do is accept Jesus, ask him to forgive me of my sins, ask him to come live inside of me, and then from that point forward, I'm just on this spiritual conveyor belt. And God just moves me through all of the processes, you know. But the truth is, if you want to grow spiritually and if you want to become all that God wants you to become, you're going to have to be intentional. That means you're going to have to be purposeful and make some purposeful decisions that may not necessarily feel so good. You're going to have to be purposeful, intentional about growing spiritually. It's not automatic. Check out Hebrews 5, verse 11. It says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. That's pretty funny, isn't it? In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. So what does he say? He says, you should be right here. But instead, you're here. And now somebody has to stop what they're doing, come back and help you again, and you should be helping other people. How many of you see that that's not the best use of people's time or energy when it comes to the big picture of God's kingdom? It's not the best productivity for an organization that we just go back again and help you come a little bit further along, and when you should be further along, actually going back and helping other people. So this verse tells us, this passage tells us that spiritual growth is not automatic. Though by this time you ought to be a lot further down the track, is what the writer of Hebrews tells them. It's not automatic. No, it's intentional. It's intentional. And I believe if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to become all that God wants us to become, we're going to have a certain level of desire. We're going to have a certain level of drive in our life, spiritual drive, and we're going to need to have some determination. Really be determined to become what God wants us to become. And we're going to have some level, you know, of drive in us to be driven to be who God wants us to become. And I know there's like a balance between striving and working and driving yourself versus resting in what God's already done. But I think you know what I'm talking about here. There's a balance in that. But, you know, if you just have a lackadaisical attitude, you know, a lot of people pray, well, if it's God's will, then I'll become that. And the truth is, it is God's will. God's just waiting for you to begin to press in a little bit. Come on, everybody with me? To begin to have some drive and some determination and some desire down on the inside. Jesus said it this way, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So you know what I need? Sometimes I need some hunger in an area. Sometimes I need some thirst. I need to thirst after. There's some things that I recognize in my own life I'm lacking in a desire for that specific area. So my prayer is, God, make me thirsty. I want to be hungry for that. I want to have a new level of passion for that thing. And that drive, that determination, that hunger, see, helps me pursue the right thing. I like what Peter said. He said, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may what? You may grow up in your salvation. Everybody see those two words? Grow up. See that you may grow up. Well, a precursor to growing up is this craving, this desire, this passion. So we crave the Word of God. We crave the presence of God. We crave being in relationship with people who are going the same direction that we're going in. That craving positions us to receive the things that we need to receive that will help us grow up. That will help us grow up. So we need to be intentional. Spiritual growth isn't automatic. And we all know people who've been Christians for years and years and years, and I've been Christian long. You'll see when you grow up. You'll see when you mature. And they kind of feel like, you know, the cynical kind of negative spirit or attitude is about maturity when it's really not at all. We all know people who have been a Christian for years and years and years, but there's about that much depth in their life, and there's about that much obedience to the Word of God. Everybody tracking with me? So we need to be intentional. We need to be purposeful about growing up and about becoming. I don't know about you, but I don't want to look, you know, a year from now and look back at the things I'm struggling with today and be dealing with the same issues, be walking around the same mountain year after year. It may take longer than a year. Okay, 2 years from now, 2 years from now, I don't want to look back at my life right now, you know, and say, gosh, I was dealing with the same stuff, same little jealousies. Same little fears, same, I want to grow beyond them. Anybody with me today? Okay, here's number two. You ready? Second myth. Second myth is this: spiritual growth is mystical, and maturity is attainable by only a select few. So this is sort of the Twilight Zone myth. You know, some people kind of think it's just all mystical. You know, and it's sort of out of reach. And there are these superhuman, you know, superhero Christians that, man, gosh, I could never be that. And it's a myth. It's a myth. I sort of feel like one of my gifts is to demystify, you know, the things of God. Because I believe God is a very practical, pragmatic God who understands the needs that we have, understands the challenges that we're facing. The Bible says he knows the number of the hairs on our head, or the lack of the number of the hairs on our head, or whatever the case may be. God understands us. He knows our needs and gives us very practical steps to living out his life, the life that he intended for us. It's not mystical. It's not out of reach. It's not so far away. It's a great verse in Deuteronomy. I'm just thinking of it just now. I don't know if I can find it. Basically, it talks about the word that God gives and the things that God requires. They're not too far. They're not up in heaven so that someone has to go. Here it is right here. I found it. Miracle. Because I didn't know where it was. It just, listen to this. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. Maybe you could write it down and look it up later. Now, what I'm commanding you today, this is God speaking. Ready? Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. It's not unattainable. It's not mystical. It's not out of your reach. It's practical. In fact, you know what? It's right here, right in front of you. In fact, if I took a poll, every single one of you who are pursuing or reaching for God, every single one of you, there's one thing right now. Maybe a couple of others, but there's one primary thing, one primary truth that God is trying to get you to understand right now. And he's using circumstances, relationships, the challenges in your life to get you to see that one truth. And those truths are as different as the number of people in this service right now. For you, God is trying to get you to get one thing right now. What is it? Is it loving people? Is it joy? Instead of being discouraged and worried all the time, maybe God's trying to get you to have constant joy in your life because the joy of the Lord is your strength. I could go down the list, and in fact, it wouldn't be a good thing for me to do because you might say, oh, that's it. I'll take that one. Yeah, that's it. That's the one God's dealing with me about, but really it's something else. That's a little more difficult for you to think about laying down or saying no to or saying yes to. Can I get a good amen from the church this morning? It's not mystical. It's not unattainable. It's practical. And you know what? Spiritual growth is for whosoever would want to pursue and grow in God. Are you ready for the third myth? Myth number three, spiritual maturity can occur instantly if you find the right key. Now, I love this one because it speaks right to me, because I'm kind of a key person, like bottom line, you know. Give me the one thing I need to know. Give me the one thing I need to, you know, I'm taking, you know, kind of doing some golf lessons right now, trying to get it, just trying my best to break into this most difficult game. Like it's just, man, it's going to leave you just totally humbled at the end of one hole. You know, for me, it's like, and it's like, wow, why did I pick up something else to be frustrated with? You know, that's kind of what I keep thinking. At least it's not eternal. And so the other day, somebody was trying to show me something, and like, and keep that arm still and shoulders up, and stick your butt out a little bit, man. Put your chin up a little bit, man. I just felt like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I just felt like so uncomfortable, and then they kept just, you know, rifling off these instructions. I was like, please, just give me one thing. I can't think. I don't know what to do. I'm frozen because I'm thinking about the 39 things. Do you know what I'm talking about? And, you know, it doesn't come natural until you pick, you know, things that when you watch somebody do something well, you think, wow, look how it's just natural to them. The fact is they've learned how to do it. You know, they've learned how to do it. But the truth is, I need to learn all those 38 things. But what helps me is to learn them one at a time. Do you follow me? But listen, with spiritual growth, becoming all that God wants you to become, it's not going to happen in one service. I used to think, man, in the early days when we started the church, that, man, we had to pack everything in one. We had to do all God's work in that 1 hour and 15 minutes in church. And then next week came too. And then I was like, well, we got to do it all again. But the truth is, there is no right magical pill. There's no one key. It doesn't work that way. And I want you to see this great verse, Proverbs 13. It's a money verse. It's a financial principle. But I think it's a bigger principle than God's kingdom. Proverbs 13, 11. Check it out. It says this, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money, help me out, little by little makes it. So here's the key to growth, little by little. Little by little. Have you ever made a commitment to get into shape? So you went and worked out for like 3 hours? And you couldn't get out of bed the next morning? And you didn't work out again for 3 months? That did you a lot of good, that 1 3-hour workout. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, little by, a lot of hands on that one. Little by little. Little by little. Wouldn't it be great if you could take a pill? Drink a big glass of water and wake up the next morning and you would cut and fit. Like, man, look at this. Wouldn't that be awesome? That thing would sell like hotcakes. As long as it didn't have any other residual side effects to it, you know. But you know what? It doesn't. It doesn't exist. There's no little pill for your marriage. There's no little pill for raising great kids. It happens little by little. It happens little by little. You want to become all that God wants you to become, you make good choices today. Those good choices will help you tomorrow. When you get into tomorrow, make some good choices. Do the right thing. Come to church. Go to a small group. Commit to serving on a team. Be friendly at work. I mean, let's start there. Just be a nice person at work. And you'll start growing, see? And it's not going to happen overnight. And you don't need to get discouraged about what you're not and what you wish you were. And you wish you were farther along than you were. No, no, no. You're where you are. Accept responsibility for it, and grow to the next place. Step forward to the next place. There's no magic pill. There's no secret formula. There's no book, by the way. Man, if you read this book, you know, you need to read several books. You follow me? Everybody tracking with me? So we need to take those steps, don't we? Those little by little, step by steps. There's no leaps in the Bible. There's no such thing as a leap of faith. There's always a step of faith. There's always a step right before you that you need to take. You need to take this step. And you need to obey God in this area. That's how God begins to move you forward, give you the opportunities that you need. And here's the last one, and we'll close with this one. You ready? Myth four. Fourth myth of spiritual growth. Anybody receiving anything today? Wave at me if you're glad you came to church today. Good. I need a little encouragement. It's one of the things I'm trying to get over. I'm trying to get over this need for encouragement and response in church. I've been working on it for years. I think it's going to take a few more years for me to get over it. Here's myth four. Here's the fourth myth of spiritual growth. That spiritual growth is a personal and private matter. This is a myth. This is a myth. Now, my parents were raised Dutch Reformed. Went to the Dutch Reformed Church. My dad called them God's frozen chosen. He proudly admitted, we are God's frozen chosen. I mean, the faces, you go to church there and the faces are real long, not very happy, and everything's real personal and private. And to them, faith is private. It's a private thing. It's personal. Now, it is personal in the sense that you have a personal responsibility for your spiritual growth. But the Bible teaches that it's not personal in the sense that you will not grow and become all that God wants you to become in isolation and separated from other people. You will grow best and more healthy. In fact, you will become all that God wants you to become when you are planted in, connected into a network of godly, healthy relationships. That's why the church is so huge. And I want you to see this passage in Hebrews, back to Hebrews. If you flipped around with me, Hebrews chapter 10, this one is. And I want you to see in this passage, I want you to see these four let us statements. Everybody say, let us. How many of you know when we say let us, it means let us? Not talking about just me. I'm saying together we need to do this, right? And watch this in this passage, these four statements. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, here's the first one, verse 22, let us, come on, say it with me, let us. Let us do what? Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. See, this first statement is all about sincerity and authenticity. You don't have to fake your way to spirituality. You need to be sincere and authentic. You need to be real. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the what? Hope. So the first one is sincerity. The second one is hope. I'll tell you what, one of the greatest things about Christianity is there's always hope. The Bible says hope is the anchor of our soul. And as dark as it may look, there's always hope in the future. And that's what we hold on to unswervingly. Verse 24, and let us consider. That means we need to give some thought to this next one. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So we need to have this commitment how we're going to encourage each other and push each other forward. It's not just about me and me getting to that place that God wants me to get to. It's about me also helping you achieve all that God wants you to achieve. Does everybody see that? And then the last one is verse 25. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Wow, what does that mean? Some people stop going to church. They stop going to small groups. They disconnected from the choir, serving on the usher team. So he says, let's make sure that we don't pull back from that corporate connection that we have with the body of Christ, the church. See, the truth is, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:1 that a man, can you guys hear me? Is this cool? I feel like I keep seeing it comes up and down. It's got its own mind, this little deal here. There we go. What was I talking about? Working out. I was talking about working out, wasn't I? Proverbs 18:1. That's right. Thank you. A man who isolates himself, the Bible says, rages against all sound judgment. We don't grow in isolation from other people, but we actually grow better when we're connected in to a network of Christians who are pursuing the same thing. And I tell people all the time, I am like the man of God when I'm by myself. I'm exhibiting all the nine gifts of the Spirit. I'm operating in all nine gifts of the Spirit. All nine fruit of the Spirit are evident in my life. I'm patient with me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's just when you come into the picture, that's when I got the problem. Does everybody get what I'm saying? So if you measure your spirituality by yourself, man, you A+. Because why? Because you measure your spirituality based on your intentions. And we all want to be better. We all want to love God and serve him. But you know, the problem is really it's in your demonstration that we can judge or test your spirituality. And that's when the patience quotient goes down, for me at least. I need other people. To help me become more patient, I need you in my life. And isn't it amazing how God brings the kind of people that just test your patience to the hilt? You know what I'm talking about? Why? He wants to draw patience out of you. And he wants you to bear that fruit in your life because it gives him glory. Wow, look at John. Man, he used to get so irritated with that. Look at him now. He's kind of happy. Not all the way happy, but he's kind of happy. He's dealing with that guy. And he's not losing his joy. He's not saying things he regrets. You know what I'm talking about? So listen, all this, you know, that this church does, we do it as a church too. Small groups and opportunities to serve. And see, all that's designed for you. It's all designed for you to engage in so that you can grow to become the person that God wants you to become. See, the church is an institution that God has established and ordained for your spiritual benefit and growth. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So by planting in, connecting into the church, and investing of your time, your finances, your prayer, everything, you're going to get a benefit out of that that's beyond measure. We couldn't even put a price tag on it. We couldn't even put a, it's beyond anything that you can measure because it's designed to benefit you when you invest in it. It's one of those God-ordained institutions that has this reciprocal relationship and this mutually benefiting relationship. If you don't invest in, the return that you're going to see is going to be minimal. But when you invest your life, in fact, the Bible says, planted in the house of God, they will flourish because your life is a seed and the local church is like the soil. And there's some things in this atmosphere of the local church. There's some nutrients in the soil of the atmosphere of this local church that can draw the potential out of the seed. As long as you abide alone, Jesus said, you don't produce much fruit. But when you plant yourself in that soil, you produce many seeds or much fruit. And so I just want to encourage you today. Summertime's a great time. Get plugged in. Get planted in. Go to those new groups. Don't be like that loser that's on that out the volleyball field by himself. Get plugged in. Get planted. And if you're here and you're planted and you're plugged in and you're starting to get distracted by the busyness of family or the busyness of job or the busyness of whatever, no. Stay true to that commitment that brought you to the place that you are right now. Say no to those things that try to pull you away. Do you receive that today? All right, come on, let's give God a great hand clap for us.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.